You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on this week's episode of the RedCafe.net podcast, we look back at the victories over Rangers in the Champions League and Wigan in the Premier League last weekend, and ask why Fabio is not involved in the first team on a more regular basis. As well as reserves review, we also discuss the futures of Owen Hargreaves and Michael Owen, whose contracts are up in the summer.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 57 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Yes, it's me, Stephen Darwin, and yes, I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Good week this week, guys. How are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing very well, yeah. No, like I say, most weeks just bumble through life and see what surprises get thrown up. But I'm looking forward to the snow up here in sunny Bolton. It's not come yet, but it's bitterly cold, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Any snow in Italy, Dov?
No, only on mountains and stuff. none throughout, I would say.
To be expected, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that's just generally what happens at the top of mountains, but no, there's no snow here. I've just been bumbling my way through life as well.
I like that word, bumbling. Very good.
That's a good one.
Right, well, we'll kick off then, guys, of course, by looking at the most recent game, which was Wednesday's 1-0 win over Rangers in the Champions League. Dan, I wouldn't say it was the most sort of thrilling spectacle, but no, qualification to the next phase is obviously in the bag, and a Wayne Rooney goal as well to celebrate, so some positives to come out from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard, really, to score a lot of goals against Rangers when all that they were doing was just defending again. But I thought that, you know, we retained possession very well. We didn't panic. Some nice passes in the middle from Carrick and from Scholes as well. And I thought that the team stayed disciplined, because just before half-time, Rangers had a chance with Kenny Miller. I don't know why he had a shot from there. That's ridiculous. But, you know, if we'd have gone in 1-0 down, it would have been a bit tougher, but yeah, credit where it's due, and I thought we got through the game really well, and it was a professional performance, obviously capped off by a goal from Rooney as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Rooney there, Dan. Dov, what did you make of his sort of overall performance? Ferguson said he's going to take him games. He's going to need match fitness, of course, until he gets back to anywhere near the level we saw sort of end of last season. But yeah, I mean, I think Ferguson's quite openly said that he's going to give him those games, he's going to be starting him. But yeah, how did you rate his overall performance on his first proper game back?
I think he did not too bad. And obviously, it was quite courageous of him to take the penalty at the end as well. But I mean, he showed little glimpses of sort of the form we'd seen of him last season. But obviously, he's been out of the team for a little while, and then even before then, like you say, wasn't in any sort of form, maybe carrying a little injury, but I think that little trip to the United States has done him well, and I think people were saying he'd lost like a stone or something like that, or half a stone by the time he came back, and I think he said himself that he'd been doing some like intensive fitness from sort of 9 till 5 every day, so it looked a lot sharper than he did before he went away, but still, like Fergie said, a little bit rusty, so I think games will only do him good at the moment.
I just want to see some of the old Rooney in terms of the chasing back. I think I've said it in the past, that's what frustrated me, especially during the World Cup with England. He just wasn't like harassing players like he used to and tracking back, and when he lost the ball, like just not giving up until he got it back. And again, that wasn't really on show, whether that's because obviously he's not anywhere near being match fit, I don't know, but I just hope he gets that back.
There were a few times though in the game last night where he did. I mean, I remember because one of the centre halves up the pitch got done for tripping up, didn't he? When he tracked back.
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
I think his appetite is coming back, and sometimes in the first half, especially last night, when he lost the ball, he didn't seem to bounce back up and chase it down like you're saying. But I think in the second half, he did look a bit sharper, and I know he had a few air shots, but No, I think he did all right. His link-up play was good. He held it up well. First touch seemed pretty good as well. So hopefully he can get back into the swing of things and start scoring goals. Because, I mean, we've done well without him. You know, we've not lost a game. We're joint top of the league. And now this could be something that can galvanise us and push us forward a little bit more.
What did you make of, all the booing whenever he sort of got anywhere near the ball? I mean, do you think that's something that he's going to have to get used to for the rest of the season? Do you think every away ground he goes to, it's going to be that sort of, well, I wouldn't call it abuse, but just generally being booed whenever he's on the ball?
Yeah, but I don't think it'll faze him. I don't think it bothers him too much. You just hope that then, obviously, if he does get booed in every game, that he doesn't retaliate and take it out on some opposition player, you know, by lunging in or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the Rangers fans are booing at everyone, I think. I mean, John O'Shea is always getting booed because of his links with, I think does he support Celtic, John O'Shea, or something?
Or just generally be because he's generally Irish.
Just
Irish. It doesn't matter if you've got any links to sort of Celtic or anything.
I think that's disappointing. That's disappointing, really, to hear, but it's what happens, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, that's just what it is in Scotland. But being Irish, that would generally be perceived that he's a Celtic fan or he has Celtic links. They just boo anyway, but that's what happens.
Enjoyed the chants from the United fans of Keno. That was good. I like that. Really wound up a little bit.
Dov, rare start for Fabio at left back. Obviously, he did really, really well to win the penalty, sort of get there ahead of the defender and go down. So why is he not used more? Obviously, Evra's, he's first choice left back, of course, but like Dan said, he's noticed times when he's just looked tired and really, we've been crying out to be able to bring someone in. And Fabio, on Wednesday night, he did pretty well. I mean, why can he not be used a bit more?
Yeah, I think you got a spot on there, Steve, just because of Patrice Evra. I think Patrice Evra is one of the best players in his position in the world. And I don't think he's the type of character that would take getting dropped lightly. So he seems like a bit of an abrasive chap. And I would say that for me, I think Fabio is a fantastic player, and I really think given the same sort of chances that Raphael's had, he would sort of be on the same level as him. And I know that in their younger days, not saying that they're old at the minute, but when they first sort of broke into the Brazil under-17 squad, I think it was, Fabio was the more highly rated of the two. And I always thought, okay, he's going to be the one that will break through. But if you look at the positions that they play in, Raphael plays at right back, where you've got Gary Neville, who was the right back for many, many years, coming to the end of his career. John O'Shea, Wes Brown, they're not exactly top draw right backs as good as they are when they go there. They're not top draw. So he's got a chance there to break through, and he's managed to do it. Whereas you've got Fabio, who comes in, and he's got Patrice Evra, who's a lot younger, who is established as one of the best players in his position. So he's going to find it difficult. That's one of the reasons why. And also as well, maybe on a bit of a side note, he's had a lot of injuries since he came to the club, so that again won't really help his development. But I think recently we've seen him getting in the team every now and again, so yeah, I think he'll be again one that's going to be here for a few years time, and I can see him eventually taking over from Evra in the long term.
Good stuff. And before we move on, obviously Rio and Vidic not playing, Dan, so another chance for sort of Evans and Smalling to both come in and maybe start building up a little bit of a partnership, really. And obviously not much of a threat to come from Rangers with just Kenny Miller on his own up front. But I know they dealt with everything pretty well, obviously a bit of an intimidating atmosphere to deal with too. And yeah, they coped well, didn't they?
I'm really, really impressed by Chris Smalling. I said it last week, I think He looks like a really top quality player. Obviously, it's on the early days yet, but I think that he looks really good. Comfortable on the ball, good in the air, got a bit of pace about him. He dealt with the set pieces fairly well as well, I thought, because I think that was the only way Rangers really, apart from the one Kenny Miller chance, I thought that was the only way they were going to get back in the game, really, because they couldn't get out of their own half. And every time that the ball did go to Miller, obviously he's on his own against two, maybe three players at times, and Carrick was sitting a bit deep as well, so he was up against three or four players, and he was never going to cause any problems from that. But yeah, Johnny Evans, he had that one iffy moment where him and Van der Sar seemed to not talk to each other, and Van der Sar got a hand on it, but I think it was solid. But again, I don't really think you can judge it too much against a Rangers team that showed absolutely no intent or threat to get forward. Which was disappointing, really, because, I mean, they had nothing to lose anyway. I think they were already guaranteed a UEFA Europa League, and getting the words out, spotting it. You know, if they'd have beat United, they could have, got through eventually. So I don't get the tactics from Smith and McCoy.
Well, I think the reason for that, Dan, would be that if they did come out and play, we would have scored 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have mattered, would it?
Well, a point's better than no points, and I think for the situation they're in, right, okay, they would need to go for it, but if they went for it, United would have picked them off, and they knew that. And the way they set up is to go with their abilities that they have. Their abilities are well organised, and they defend well. And if you look over the two games, that's what they've done. They're not play attacking free-flowing football, because if they do that, we'll score 4 goals against them, and Walter Smith knew that, and that's why they played the way they did.
Yeah, but I mean, even in the sort of like last, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes, they didn't really do anything to show. It must be so boring being a Rangers fan. I mean, if that's, do they play like every week? I don't watch Scottish football. If that's Scottish football,
in Scotland, they're like a Manchester United, so they can go and transform.
I'm not being. In 2003, we had a tough game up there, and obviously when Phil Neville scored, you know, what's changed there? You know, they weren't a good team then, and just as much as they are now, so I don't see what the difference is, really. Yes, United might have picked them off, but, you know, it's in front of their home fans against, like, Man United. I mean, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't at least, you know, have a few shots on target and give the keeper something to do, really. It's just my opinion. I wouldn't want to sit through that.
I would agree with what you say, Dan. I think you're right. Like, I said that to our opposition fan last week. I asked him a question, like, why wouldn't they go for it? And he basically said that the answer he gave would be that if they did, then they would be picked off and they would get completely and utterly trounced, and they wouldn't have got the 3 points, even though they were in a position where they needed to win. And I suppose it's a catch-22 situation. Do you go for it because you need to win, knowing full well that if you did so, you'd be picked off and you'd get transferred now?
What I'm saying is, though, Dov, I mean, after sort of like, you know, after 70 minutes, why would you not go for it then? You know, you've kept yourself in the game. You know, fair play for defending up until then, but, you know, at least have a go. I mean, to be fair, I mean, they went forward a little bit, but, you know, there was nothing. I was never in any doubt that we would, you know, concede a goal.
Do you not think, though, like, sort of moving on a little bit, that if obviously it was a late penalty that won the game, and you were quite unhappy at the first sort of the game against Rangers where it was nil nil. Do you think that the reaction after the match would have been a lot different if it finished nil nil in Scotland as well?
No, I don't think so, because I think that, well, I don't know really. I mean, I thought we controlled the game really well. I think a little bit better than what we did at Old Trafford, if I'm being honest. I thought at Old Trafford we looked a little bit, you know, rushed and trying to force things too much. But I think last night, you know, we kept the ball, we knocked it from side to side. I thought our wingers didn't really get into the game much. I thought Nani was pretty disappointing. But I think that it was a good performance all around, and it showed a bit of patience. And like you say, if we hadn't got the penalty, I could still see us creating another chance or two in the closing minutes anyway to try and nick something, because we were coming, getting on a bit stronger then by that time. So I don't know, but you know what it's like. If you don't beat a team like Rangers, people like me will start complaining. So I was just glad, really, that Rooney tucked it away, and it was a good penalty as well.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, we'll move it on then to look at the game before Rangers, which was the 2-0 win over Wigan in the Premier League on Saturday. Dan, we discussed at length, really, about whether we thought Federico Makeda would be sort of rewarded for his strike against Aston Villa and be given a start, and as we all know now, he did. So how did you rate him, his overall performance?
I thought he was okay. Again, he started a game and he's not lived up to expectations. I don't know why that is, whether it's just, you know, lack of experience and things like that, but I didn't think he had that many chances to actually put the ball in the net, which might have been down to, you know, supply line from the midfield and from the wide areas. But, I mean, I thought that his general play was okay. His touch seemed all right and everything else. But, again, he's going to be judging how many goals he scored. And I didn't think he looked that sharp in front of goal, which is unfortunate, because he's obviously got potential, and we've seen it in the reserve leagues and things like that in the past years. And maybe it is just experience, you know, just to learn how to play. To play up front, because he kind of played up front, not on his own, because I think Overtime was in and out, wasn't he? But I don't think he was a proper partner for Makeda, which, I mean, I'd like to see Makeda start alongside someone like Rooney or Berbatov a little bit more, just to help him through a game.
Great stuff. And Dov, full-backs, particularly impressive. Goal for Evra and assist for Rafael for Hernandez's goal.
Yeah, I think they were probably the two best players for us. Obviously, Patrice Evra, I think that was his first role for what, 3.5 years or something like that. But he said he wants to score more, so we'll maybe see Patrice popping up in the box. And I've got to say, Rafael's cross was fantastic. And I thought he had an excellent game, probably the best player on the day. But overall, the performance was abysmal, absolutely terrible. Dan sort of mentioned it, talking about Makeda, maybe the service from midfield wasn't up to scratch. He's right, the service from midfield is completely rubbish. And I thought, for me, Michael Carrick was back to his terrible, terrible form. It was horrible to watch, and I would say we're maybe a bit lucky for getting the goal just before half time, and then Wigan having two players sent off. Because for me, they were much more dangerous when they went on the break.
And Dan, just quickly, Javier Hernandez obviously coming on, grabbing another goal. He can't do any more, really, can he? Obviously, the front two, it's always going to be Berbatov and Rooney, your sort of automatic pick, if you like. But no, he just keeps knocking on Ferguson's door, doesn't he? And with the more goals he scores, he's going to have to give him his chance at a prolonged run in the first team eventually, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's a good player to have around. I mean, he's I thought he was a very good header on Saturday. I thought he took it because it was behind him as well, wasn't it, really? And the power that he got into it, and he directed it well. And I think he's a cracking little player. I mean, he came on against Rangers, and yeah, I thought he did okay. Yeah, he's got massive potential. And like you say, Ferguson's going to have to start playing him sooner rather than later, especially if Berbatov's not scoring the goals expected of him. You know, Hernandez and Rooney, I don't know, would it be a good combination? I'm not sure, but it'd certainly be direct and pacey, wouldn't it?
I think it would be, like, just answering your question, Dan, I think it would be a good combination, because I think Rooney likes to, like, drop deep a little bit. He prefers to drop deep and sort of collect the ball and sort of maybe start off attacks, sort of start off moves. Whereas if you've got Berbatov there, I think Berbatov maybe likes to drop deep a little bit as well, whereas Hernandez maybe would like to play on the line, like on the defensive line, on the shoulder of a defender. So I think it is, if you're given a chance, I think it could be very, very fruitful.
Great stuff. Cool. Well, we'll move it on then, guys, to do the player and cabbage of the week, the usual sort of feature of the week. Dov, then, start with you. Who would be your standout player from the last week?
Standout player. So it's a difficult one. I'm going to go with Patrice Evra. He can get it, because Dan's given him a lot of stick because he's been pretty terrible. But he popped up with a goal, and I think it was a vital goal because we didn't really like scoring against Wigan. And it's his first one for a long time as well, so he can get player of the week from me.
Dan, who would be your player of the week?
I'm going to give it to Wayne Rooney. I think that I just liked his celebration when he scored. I mean, I'm not that daft to think that it's all rosy again, but yeah, I think that seemed genuine, and the fan that came onto the pitch as well, that made me chuckle. So Wayne Rooney.
Good stuff. Well, for me, it will be Rafael. Dov sort of mentioned all the reasons when we spoke to him earlier about it, but yeah, I thought he had a cracking performance, putting a lot of deliveries into the box as well, which was good to see, and obviously made the goal for Hernandez too. So yeah, Rafael really really coming on strong this season, which is good to see. Cabbage of the week then, Dov, start with you this time. I started with you last time. We'll go again. I don't know what I'm doing today, Dov. But, yeah, we'll go with you again. Cabbage of the week.
No problem, Steve. Well, I'm going to give it to a man you like to give it to, Michael Carrick. So I mentioned him briefly when I was talking about the Wigan game. He was horrible. He was absolutely terrible. Couldn't control the ball. It seemed to take an age to sort of move the ball on, and he was caught in possession a lot of times. And then obviously taken off for Hernandez in the second half, which was probably the best decision Fergie made in that game. So he's getting it for me.
Dan, cabbage of the week.
It's a tough one, but I don't know really. I think it's quite a tough one to call, but I'm going to give it to Berbatov. I think that I know he didn't play on Saturday, but I mean, I think yesterday I thought he was, again, he was good outside the area, and he maybe should have had a penalty as well, and he played a good pass through to Rooney. But apart from that, I think that I'm starting to notice his attitude towards other players sometimes, or whether it's just with himself, I don't know, but he seems to be very temperamental and stroppy, and I think players just ignore him now.
You started to notice his bad attitude. Where have you been the last 12 months?
Well, I mean, And I know he has done it before, and it's been pointed out quite frequently, especially on here. But no, I mean, sometimes I agree with his frustrations. I mean, there was a time last night when Nani, all he had to do was lift it to the back post, and Botas got an absolute tapping, and he tries pulling at the near post, and it's like, what are you doing? And I couldn't understand his frustration there, but regretfully, I'm going to give it to Dimitar.
Regretfully, I like it. It's going to be Makeda for me, I think, because like you said, Dan, earlier, he had another big chance to sort of really stamp his mark from the start, and it didn't quite happen for him. So disappointing, really. But no, Makeda for me this week. Right then, shall we have a look at reserves review now then? A massive game for the reserves, Dov. It was the Manchester derby of the reserve sides. And a familiar face on the score sheet for the reserves as well. Can you tell us about what happened?
Would that be a William Keane? Steve, are you referring to
certainly
maybe?
Would. Certainly would. Certainly, yeah.
They did well. It was the reserve Premier League, and it was United against City. And it was a 1-1 draw. It was a bit kind of similar to the sort of game between the first teams, a bit cagey, slow, nothing really happening between the two sides, especially the opening exchanges of the game. Really, it's two sides who were quite nervous. Paul Pogba and Alex Nimley from City were putting in a few tasty tackles. Let's just say that both sides came out with 4-5-1 formations. United, though, they sort of had the first sort of breakthrough in the match. Cameron Stewart, he ran, picked out a pass, lofted pass from Rhys Brown, then took the ball into the area and was brought down, penalty to United. Will Keane stepped up, but penalty was saved by the City goalkeeper. However, the striker remained calm and put the rebound in, and that was a 1-0 to United. So even when he doesn't score, he still manages to score. United maybe took an advantage from that in terms of performance, and they couldn't get another goal. And 10 minutes after Will Keane scored a penalty, City, they were level when Alex Nimley, he was brought down in the box by Oliver Gill. The referee, no choice, it was a stonewall penalty. And this time Andrew Doot dispatched the spot kick to make it 1-1. The rest of that half saw City. Basically, they were the better team, put United under a lot of pressure. John Giudetti, he caused United a lot of problems. And they had a chance to take the league when Chris Hay was played in that by Chris Chandler. But the shot hit the post, beat Sam Johnson in the United goal there, so lucky there. Second half sort of started more or less the same way as the first. It was really quite slow, a bit turgid. And United, though, they had most of the possession. They didn't really do too much with it. And the game was sort of beginning to peter out a little bit. Nothing much was happening. So on 76 minutes, Cameron Stewart rampaged down the wing, went past two defenders, and then he had a shot, but it just went wide. City responded a little bit towards the end of the game, but again, no team could get their winning goal, and it was a 1-1. But again, like I mentioned at the start, it was very, very similar to the two games, or the games between the first team sides of both. So a 1-1 draw, and Will Keane getting on the score sheet again.
Stuff. Interesting description there, Dov. Even when he doesn't score, he manages to score.
Exactly. That's a great description. He misses penalty, puts the rebound, he always scores somehow.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Good stuff. Well, before we preview next week's games, we just got one email, which has come in from James McAllister. Guys, will Michael Owen or Owen Hargreaves, will they get new deals at the end of this season, considering that I believe they're both their contracts expire in the summer? Obviously, both well-documented injury problems, and Michael Owen can't really get anywhere near the first team at the moment other than the League Cup. So, yeah, just thoughts on that question from James.
Yeah, I think so. I think Michael Owen, I think he'll get an extra year, and I think Hargreaves, depending on, obviously, how many appearances he makes now, I think they'll give him an extra year as well, just to reward him really for his efforts in trying to get back. But No, I mean, it depends on his performances as well, because there's no point taking a gamble on someone who's not going to play much. But I really do hope that he does get games, because I think he's a good player when he's fully fit, and we've just got to wait for him to get fit again now.
So obviously two guys there, Dan, that might not be here next season. But what about Dimitar Berbatov? Because obviously, being in the peninsula, I've been reading a lot in the last week about him maybe coming over here in a swap deal with Gianluigi Buffon, or maybe to the Juventus, or maybe just coming over because United want rid of him as well. And also looking at he was left completely out of the Wigan team, not scored since his hat-trick against Liverpool. And you gave him cabbage of the week this week, so really it's not getting any good for him. And do you think that Fergie might be ready just to let him go and bring a couple of new players in?
No, he's too good of a player to let go. I mean, he complements our attack at times, and I think he's a really good player. There's no point in asking this question, because I don't think he should leave. Granted, he's not scored. Is it now? He's not scored in 10 games, 9, 10 games, but I do think that his overall performances have been generally pretty good. It depends. Obviously, if Juventus was to make a daft bid, then maybe you would let him go, but I mean, I can't see Ferguson wanting to do that unless he's got somebody else coming in.
But the thing is that I know you like him. I know that, and I think everybody does know that. But it's the thing is, like, I think maybe you've noticed that the players maybe are ignoring him a little bit when he goes in his strops, and he's not scoring enough goals. So do you think Fergie will be like, okay, you've had a number of years at the club, you've not really done it, so I'm going to bring somebody else in?
Let's just direct the question slightly a different angle, because Dan's obviously getting frustrated at this, that sort of question. But I mean, have we had ample reward, Dan, for the 30 million that was paid for Dimitar Berbatov? Has he paid back his fee?
But maybe not. But I mean, did Berbatov, declare the fee? He didn't. Man United wanted to pay that much money for him, and Tottenham. I mean, you can't go around blaming players for the fees that they get.
All right. Well, has he proved himself as a United player then?
I think he's been top quality. I mean, I don't see any reason to doubt him. You know, people bang on about Michael Carrick as well. I think Carrick, I mean, obviously, he's had a dip in form, but since Carrick came to the club, he's been fantastic as well, and he's had one bad season out of four, and people are starting to want him out of the club, and it's ridiculous. I mean, what happened to having a bit of faith? Berbatov will play a massive role to play, in this season, and I just think that people, when United aren't doing well or they're not winning games or whatever, then it always seems to be Berbatov's fault, and I think it's wrong, really.
There you go, Dov. There's your question sort of answered.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, everybody, it's that time on the RedCafe.net podcast where we have an opposition fan on the line, and I am delighted to welcome back Mikey Delap from the Wild Blackburn Rover. How are you doing, Mikey?
I'm not bad. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Are you enjoying the snow? Sunny England?
Yeah, well, for someone that's based in Italy, that's a bit rich, but but yeah, no, it's not too bad. Where I live, we've not actually had any yet, but that's forecast for Thursday and Friday, so get the ski equipment out.
Good stuff. Well, hopefully it won't affect the game at the weekend, which is obviously United against Blackburn Rovers. First, I want to get your thoughts on the recent takeover that you have undertaken or happened at Ewood Park. Are you going to become the next City or Chelsea, and are you going to be up fighting for the league title again?
Hate to sound like I'm dampening the squib already, but probably not now. From a takeover point of view, it's probably not one of those ones to get sort of like super excited about, but hopefully it'll make us, a step in the right direction, and we can sort of build from there, because it's been badly needed a takeover for, God, at least a couple of years. We've been struggling, in the transfer market, definitely for 3 to 4 years, I'd say. Selling club, I think they call it.
Well, you may get a Rocky Santa Cruz back, you never know.
He's got some bridges to build, let's just say.
Good stuff. Okay, well, looking at your form, he's in some quite decent form, and one player in particular, Morten Gams-Pedersen, who has got quite a habit of scoring against United. What do you make of your form, and do you think that'll obviously stand you in good stead for the weekend?
Form-wise, I'll be honest, if you'd have played us about a month ago, you could have had the pick of us, but we seem to have picked up. I mean, we seem to have a habit of which bodes well for the weekend of actually picking up results maybe where they're not really expected. I mean, we were really, really unlucky against Chelsea when we played them at home. And certainly the Wigan game, we played actually, you know, 10 times worse than we did against Chelsea, but managed to pick up the points and then sort of gone on a little run from there. Yeah, I mean, it stands us in good stead because we've got 9 points from 12. And I mean, bar literally like Barcelona, I think most teams would take that.
That's very true. And who would you say are your most dangerous players? Would it be Gams Pedersen, or have you got a couple others up your sleeve that we're not fully aware of?
Well, we can't use your boy, I'm afraid. He's on loan at the moment, but Morton's got to be the sort of main culprit. He's a very, very frustrating player. He can be beyond annoying sometimes, but when he's in form, he's a very, very dangerous player. You know, in recent weeks, he's been difficult to handle, and I mean, certainly against Villa at the weekend, they didn't have an answer to his set piece delivery at all. Outside of him, if Dave Dunn's fit, which seems to be once every sort of blue moon, he's always a handful. And certainly where we earn our corn is from set pieces. So keep your eyes out for the rather massive Chris Samba. And if Nzonzi fancies playing, he's also quite a danger from set pieces as well.
You mentioned there, Juf. How is he doing at Blackburn this season?
He's looked okay. He seems to have a bit of pace on him, which is quite strange. He's quite a gangly sort of player, as you may well have noticed. But he seems to have a bit of composure on him as well, which is stands him in good stead. I think he's struggled a little bit though, because he's been largely played in a position where, you know, I don't think he'd consider it his first choice. He seems to be played on the right of a sort of 4-4-3, whereas I'm kind of guessing Ferguson's maybe used him in a up front sort of 4-4-2. I'm a guess anyway.
Yeah, I think that's when he did come on. He played usually up front, but he didn't have too many games before we sent him to yourselves. So
I was going to say, just to add one thing, he does actually look quite handy in the air.
What about United? So we've not been playing to the best of our ability, you would say, and we remain unbeaten, but performances haven't been there to match. Are there any players from United you're worried about, or are you thinking that maybe you could be the ones to end unbeaten record?
I mean, the optimist in me says don't rule it out. I mean, you know, as we've seen this season, it's a ridiculous season. You know, I mean, 3 weeks ago, if someone had have said Sunderland are going to go to Chelsea and win 3-0, I'd have asked what you're on and can I have some? It's absolutely possible. As far as United's danger players go, I mean, we do have a knack of breaking certain people's bad runs in teams, so expect Rooney to bag about 6 goals on Saturday. Outside of that, I mean, I must say, apart from his falling on the floor, rolling around like a 6-year-old girl, I must say Nani is a massive threat.
How do you think Big Sam will set up at the weekend, if I'm allowed to call him that? Do you think he'll sort of go quite defensive and try and sort of hit us in the counter-attack, or do you think he'll sort of set up in a more attacking way?
I think he'll go with his, you know, if you're going away from home against a team that costs a lot more money than yours does and, you know, has a bigger reputation and obviously a lot of fans like Man United do, you can't go all guns blazing because we don't have the players to go toe-to-toe with Man United. So I expect the first sort of half an hour will be very much mission, don't concede a goal. Outside of that, it's just play to the strengths. We've got some very large players, some very tall players as well. And it's all about, you know, percentage play and stuff. It might sound incredibly boring to you guys having watched wondrous on-the-floor passing game, but that's very much a luxury nowadays for us.
So, right, okay, before we get a prediction off you, with your new owners coming in, and imagine that they're as wealthy as those on the other side of Manchester or maybe in London. Yeah. If you could have one player from United, who would you have and why?
Last year, I actually picked Michael Carrick, believe it or not, and I'll clear things up because I'm actually from Manchester, and I actually got a bit of stick for that because I wasn't aware of the fact that he was something of almost a taboo subject over at United. So I'm not going to go with him this year. If I'm actually going to pick someone, I'm actually going to go with Ryan Giggs, believe it or not.
Even at this age?
even at this age, well, to be fair, look how good he looks for someone who's sort of in his late 30s or mid-30s. That shows a lot of discipline, and also it shows a lot of longevity. And to be fair, I kind of admire his loyalty as well, because it's quite a rare thing nowadays.
But there you go. Good stuff, Welly. And what would your prediction be for the weekend's match?
God, don't make me do this. I'm going to be optimistic. I'll say we can pinch a draw. Last year, I said we could pinch a draw when you played us at our place, and we did. So I'm going to try and keep my 100% record alive.
Good stuff. What about a score? Give me a score, mate. Give me a score.
I'll tackle a 1-0. I'd like to think we can pinch a goal and then maybe have Ferguson ripping his hair out on the sidelines. That's an image I like to have in my head. So I'll say 1-0, and I expect Rooney to score. And from our lot, I'll probably have a quick bash at Jason Roberts, because he's in pretty good nick as well for someone that can't hit a barn door normally.
Well, there you go, everybody. You've got a score and scorers. Good stuff. Well, mate, thank you very much for coming back on the redcafe.net podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me as well.
Thank you. And if you want to read some of Mikey's work, then go on to thewildblackburnrover.blogspot.com, and you can check out what he thinks about the upcoming match against United on there as well.
Well then, guys, we'll obviously look at the game ourselves now then. Dov, it's another one of those home games, really, where you feel, well, it has to be a win, doesn't it? And yeah, so Rooney looking like he's definitely going to start. I mean, do you think we're going to see quite a few changes from the Champions League game anyway, likes of Giggs and Scholes? Can you see them playing consecutive games, or will he call upon the likes of Jason Park maybe to come in? Obertan's obviously fresh.
Yeah, I think you see a team not so dissimilar from the team that played Wigan. I could see maybe one of Giggs or Scholes starting. Maybe Scholes, actually. I could maybe see him getting a game, given that we completely lack any sort of creativity when he's not on the park from midfield. So I would see him on. I think Chicharito will probably get a start against with Rooney up front. Berbatov sitting on the bench, something like that. But I mean, we sort of kind of said the same thing against Wigan. I mean, these are teams that we should be beating at home, and like, no disrespect to Blackburn, but they're a team we should beat at home, and we seem to be struggling but getting results. So I can't see it being a completely unbelievable performance or anything like that, but I think we'll get the victory, but maybe be only sort of 1-0, 2-1, something like that. It'd be narrow.
Good stuff. Dan, what about a prediction of an outcome for you?
I think that the game will, I think it'll be good. I mean, if Rooney plays, I think that I think he'll score, frankly. I think he's ready now to come back into the team, and hopefully he can, like I say, you know, propel us to further heights. But I mean, I think that Blackburn will be a tough game, and I've just fallen off my chair nearly. But I mean, I think that you know, Blackburn will be a tough game. Like the opposition fans said, you know, that they've got a lot of big, strong players, and we've got to be careful not to surrender any goals, you know, through set pieces or throw-ins from Pedersen, because he can throw a ball in as well. So hopefully we'll get a result, but I can see it being one of those games that's a bit frustrating for sort of an hour. And then kicking into life, much like possibly the game against Rangers in the week. So hopefully we've got enough to break them down.
Okay, and well, we'll briefly look ahead to another game we've got next week, which is away to West Ham in the League Cup quarter final. So yeah, Dov, do you think we're going to continue to see sort of the, well, don't like really calling them fringe players, but maybe players that don't get as much first team action in the Premier League, and yeah, it gives them a chance to show what they can do, really.
Yeah, I think we will. I think, like, so Chris Smalling will get a game. Makeda, probably even Michael Owen, if he's fit. It's players like that, they'll all play. Which I think that's been his policy in the League Cup. Anderson as well, so he's been injured recently. He may get a game as well, because he came on against Rangers. And why not? I mean, West Ham they're having a terrible time of it this season, so I think our fringe players should have enough about them to get a result in that game as well. So I think you've got to give them like a sort of competition where they can come through, and I think like the League Cup is the one that Ferg has chosen, that a lot of teams have chosen to do that, and they're doing not bad. So we're getting to the quarterfinals, so I mean, fair play to them, keep them on it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I completely agree. I think it's Ferguson said in the past that he needs sort of games where he can play is well, again, I don't like saying fringe players, but maybe his second string, whatever you like to call it. And obviously, he doesn't want to be risking them in league games where points are so important. So, yeah, I think it's great, really, that you get to see them. As we get towards the sort of latter stages as well, I hope he sticks with them. And even if we went all the way and got to Wembley, it'd be nice to see the likes of Fabio, Anderson, Smalling being given a game in such a sort of testing environment. So, yes, yeah, it's great to see. What about a prediction then? Dan, how do you see it going against West Ham?
I think that West Ham aren't in great form, are they? I think we should beat them, really, with any team that we've put out. But it's never going to be as easy as that. And, you know, and a League Cup game could be something that turns their season around, so they'll take it very seriously. Like you say, that the squad players will come in and do a job. I imagine someone like Gibson will probably play, like you say. Makeda might start again. Anderson might come in for a start as well. So yeah, I think we'll do enough to win the game, and hopefully score a few goals in the process.
Cool, Dov. Did I grab a prediction from you earlier?
Yeah, you didn't, but I can give you one, Steve, if you want one.
Go for it.
I think it'll be 2-0. That's my prediction.
2-0, excellent. Well, that is just about the end of episode 57 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Usual email address, please do get in touch. It's podcast@redcafe.net. There's also the Facebook group too, which is building numbers by the week. So we do really appreciate everyone sort of going on there and getting involved. And that's just about the end, and just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you again next week.